Island Church in Galveston, Texas welcomes you to our podcast. We trust that you will be encouraged by today's message.
Yes. Yes, for you have begun this journey. The south wind has blown softly, but you see the groundswell beginning to rise and the skies begin to darken. But fear not, fear not. I've built into you a system of truth, that which is real in reality. And in the midst of all the lies, of all the darkness and all the enemy would try to do, no, you'll be raised up. You'll be blessed. You'll be increased. You'll be favored. Even now, many of them are saying, look at this, look at that, look at this, look at that. So much favor, so much blessing. Everything we do seems to be the hand of the Lord. Well, that shall increase and become even more powerful. So step in under that which I'm doing. Submit to that which I'm saying. Flow with that which is flowing. And you shall see the blessings in the days ahead become so outstanding that even the world will say, look what God is doing for those people. Hallelujah. Now, we're gonna dig. Everybody say dig. God is constantly making adjustments if you'll listen to Him. He's constantly reproving and correcting you if you'll allow Him. Amen. And I'm going to tell you, it's like right now, I sense in the Spirit, it's like a captain of a ship preparing a ship for a very rough time. And I literally see God doing this in my own life. Words that He's given me, things that He's saying to me. And not only that, I've noticed the amount of comfort and peace coming from God, because there's not many other sources of that in the world, is increasing. Amen? Now, let me read first of all, and then I'm going to come back and we're going to expound on this a minute. Look at verse 16. Look at verse 16. I'm going to wear my little cheaters here so I won't. I've got so many notes. This is in chapter 5 of the book of 1 Thessalonians. Everybody say 1 Thessalonians. So if you're in 2 Thessalonians, you're in the wrong place. Now notice verse 16, rejoice evermore. Pray on Tuesdays and Thursdays. Oh, sorry. Pray without ceasing. In everything, not for everything. In everything, notice that. In everything, do what? Give thanks. Now, for this is the will of God. Now, what are we studying? What are we talking about? The will of God. Everybody say the will of God. Now, let's just for a moment. It is the will of God that you be saved. How many are you glad you found the will of God? Found salvation. That's the will of God. Now, once you're born again, it is the will of God. Now, you know, we could throw anything in there. It's the will of God for you to be a part of a church. It's the will of God for you to tithe. No, let me just make it real easy. It's the will of God for you to grow. Amen. Just like it's the will of a mom and dad for their child to grow after their child is born. Amen. It is the will of the Heavenly Father for you to grow after you're born again so that you can do what? Understand and see more clearly the provision and blessing of God. Understand and see more clearly how to operate in the kingdom of God. Understand and see more clearly exactly and who Jesus really is to you personally. Isn't that great? Now notice, that is the will of God, to rejoice evermore, to pray without ceasing, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. But so is everything else around this chapter, because the next thing it says is quench not the Spirit. That's capital S. Don't quench the move of the Holy Spirit. I'm just, this kind of just something that happened to me. I was in meetings years ago, back when I had the liberty to go to meetings where I wasn't speaking. I had time to do it, and I'd go to meetings, and I'm telling you, there were some guys back there who could teach the Word of God that almost make you want to just stand up and scream. And I went to one particular meeting, and this guy got up, and he could teach the Word, and I'm telling you, he had a subject. He had that thing studied out. You could tell he had a lot of experience in preaching on that thing, and as he preached that thing, the glory of God, the Spirit of God, and the anointing of God just rolled into that building. I mean, it was tangible, just rolled into that building, and that guy shut his Bible, said amen, and sat down. And I thought, what was that? I mean, you know, I thought, turn me loose, I'll do something, you know. Because the anointing was so strong, so I went to another one, same thing happened. Went to another one, same thing happened. And I noticed these men were all in the same company. And I begin to wonder, what in the world is going on? These guys are so anointed. They teach and preach the Word of God. The anointing comes into the meeting, so tangible, so strong, and they just sit down. And the Lord spoke to me and said, they're quenching the Spirit. They're putting more emphasis on the Word than the Spirit instead of allowing me to bring the balance. So I just shut my little mouth, didn't say anything, and I begin to realize when the Word of God is being taught, God wants the Spirit of God to be involved with it. Amen? So notice this. Again, rejoice evermore, pray without ceasing, and everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Quench not the Spirit, despise not prophesying, prove all things, hold fast to that which is good, abstain from all, not evil, from the very appearance of evil. Have you noticed how you've had to turn the television off a little bit more lately? And if you're not, you should be. There's two or three things I got, you know, 5 minutes into that and said, nah, I ain't going for that. I'm not letting that get into my mind. I'm not letting that get into my soul. Amen. And I'm not above getting up and walking out of a movie. We've done it before. We just get them walk out. Why? Too much. When they start taking the name of my God, the God that saved me, the God that delivered me, the God that healed me, and the God that shed His blood for me in vain, and using it as a curse word, I'm going to get up in front of everybody and walk out and voice my displeasure. Well, that might embarrass me. Well, I hope you're there when I do it. Because I'm going to point at you and say, they go to my church. Glory to God. Now notice this. And the very God of peace, verse 23, sanctify you. Now here it is. Separate you wholly. And I pray your whole spirit, your spirit, and soul and body be what? Preserved, blameless unto what? The coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. These are preparation scriptures for the second coming of Jesus. So I think we ought to go back to chapter 5, verse 1. Amen. Let's see what he's saying here. Because it's just not, this is the will of God in praying without ceasing, rejoicing evermore, quenching not the Spirit. There's a bunch of stuff in here that's the will of God. Now notice verse 1. Now I'm going to bounce back and forth between the Amplified and the King James. When I do, I will tell you. King James, verse 1. But of the times and the seasons, brethren, you have no need that I write unto you, for you yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so cometh as a thief in the night. Now notice this, for when they, everybody say they. Now there is a constant relating to two different crowds of people by the Apostle Paul. The us and the them are the they. Amen. So many times the us is referring to the particular church he's writing the letter to or the particular person in which he's writing to. When it's they, he's either talking about the unbelief of the nation of Israel or the world system. Thank God we're the us and the thems. We're not the, I mean, we're the us. What are we, the us? Oh, never mind. For when they shall say, now listen to this. For when they shall say, peace and safety, then sudden destruction cometh upon them as a travail upon a woman with child, and they shall not escape. Have you ever noticed? I know you've seen the movies, stuff like that. With Lee and I, we went to the doctor. We knew it was time, so we just kind of, you know, hung around the hospital area for a while, and finally the doctor looked at us, well, you need to, you know. But for some people, you know, you see it in movies. I've never had it happen to me. When a lady with child, pregnant lady, couple be walking down the mall or going somewhere, and all of a sudden the baby starts coming. Boom. The water breaks, the pain comes, and all of a sudden, did you know, you can't schedule that. Now, I know you can do certain things, but you can now. But naturally, there's no natural thing that you can do to schedule that. It happens when it happens. It happens when it happens. Amen. So it says here, it's going to happen when it happens. It's going to happen when it happens. It says, but ye, brethren, are not in darkness. He says, not for you. This is what's going to happen to those in darkness. For those that are in darkness, these events are going to happen like a thief in the night. It's going to happen. They're going to go, what happened? What happened? What happened? What happened? You're going to say, I'm going to tell you exactly what happened. One of the events you won't be here to tell them. But there'll be other things you'll be able to tell them what happened. It shall not overtake you as a thief, for you are children of the light and the children of the day. We are not of the night, nor of darkness. You are not of the night, nor of darkness. You are children of the day. You are children of the light. Say it. Say, I'm a child of the light. Say, I'm a child of the light. Say, I'm a child of the light. That's good to know, because you can't take a pen light and say, okay, we're going to put that light out by creating darkness around it. Did you know you can't do it? As long as there's a source to that little pen light, you can build darkness and darkness and layer darkness and make it as dark could possibly be, where no light can get out, no light can get in, but that light will still burn, and that light will still give light, and that light will dispel the darkness. So no matter how dark your problem may be, it may be you just need a little light to come into your life and dispel that darkness. Amen? It says, you're all children of the light, children of the day. We're not of the night nor of the darkness. Therefore, let us not sleep as others do, but let us, notice this, watch. Everybody say watch and be sober. Now, these are requirements for those that are going to go up into the rapture. These are requirements for people who are being prepared. See, Paul was preparing the churches to go up in the rapture. He was calling everything the last days, the last season, the last time. But see, Jesus, he spoke to those Jewish boys about the second coming and not about the rapture. So as he spoke to them about the second coming, Paul spoke about the rapture. The church has taken it all and tried to pour it into one bottle and confused everybody. Confused everybody, amen. But in speaking of the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, which we will what? Come back with him. Whether you die on this earth or go up in the rapture, you're still going to be involved in the rapture. You're either going to be going up, or you're going to be coming back down to get your body, then go back up. 7 years in heaven, then we're coming back to rule and reign with him for 1,000 years. Now, don't you know, he's already got the government. He's already got the structure. Do you know that? You know what it's called? There you go, the church. He's going to rule the world with the church. Now notice that, don't get some kinky, stupid. No, I'm not going to say that, because someone will get offended with that. But there's a lot of churches that think it's only them. No, he's going to use people who really know God. Amen. Now notice, watch and be sober. But say, watch and be sober. Watch and be sober. For they that sleep, sleep in the night. They that be drunken are drunken in the night. But let us who are of the day be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, and for a helmet the hope of salvation. Notice verse 9. For God hath not appointed us to wrath, but to obtain salvation by our God. Now listen to this. Verse 9, the Amplified. For God hath not appointed us to incur his wrath. He did not select us to condemn us, but that we might obtain his salvation through the Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us, so that whether we are still alive or dead at Christ's appearing, we might live together with him and share his life. Therefore, encourage, admonish, exhort one another, edify, strengthen, and build up one another just as you are doing. Now listen, he's saying this. The day's coming. The day's coming. Oh, it's coming. The glory of God's going to increase. You're going to have to watch and be sober. You're going to have to watch and be sober. You're going to have to watch and be sober. Why? This is the will of God. This is the will of God. You don't come under the influence of what's going on in this election, in this government. You don't come on under the influence of the next pandemic that comes around. You don't come under, no, you stay under the influence of the Word of God. You stay under the influence of the Spirit of God. You don't come under the influence of economic disaster or destruction. Why? God has not appointed you to wrath or to incur destruction. While it's happening in the world, you're going to have to rise up in faith so it doesn't happen to you. Amen. It's happening in the world right now. The world is running out of food, running out of medicine, running out of hope, running out of time. And somebody's going to come up with a brilliant plan. And they're going to say, peace and safety. And this thing's going to blow up like a powder keg. Fuse is already lit. So we better be in our place doing what we're supposed to do, being who we're supposed to be. Amen. Now, notice this. Notice this. It goes from there to talking about, notice verse 12. Now we beseech you, brethren, get to know those who labor among you. Now notice this, recognizing them for what they are. Acknowledge and appreciate and respect them all. Your leaders who are over you in the Lord, those who warn and kindly reprove and exhort you. So you need someone like that in your life. Most of the time that person is called a pastor. I've always had a pastor. I have a pastor today. Actually, I have three men that I call pastor because it takes three to pastor me. I have three men that I submit to. I submit my life and ministry to. I let them look at every aspect they want to. If they see anything in my life that's out of order, they have permission from me to dismantle me and put me back together so that I work better. Amen? I have somebody that watches out after my soul. I have somebody that I look to for counsel. Listen, and that's why many times people don't understand. Well, you know, all these problems in the church and things that go on. Pastor needs to share that and let the church know it. No. You're the sheep. I can't do that. I can't get up here and bleed on you and get blood all over you and expect you to be healthy. Can I get a better amen than that? But now notice there's been such a reduction in respect and honor toward the ministry. And this is the reason right here. Let me read it. I'm going to read it in the King James and the Amplified so you'll understand it. It says in the King James, "And we beseech you, brother, to know them which labor among you and are over you in the Lord and admonish you." People are like, "Ain't nobody over me. I'm my own person. Ain't nobody over me." Well, that may be true in the natural, but in the spirit, you better have somebody over you. Because there's spiritual authority that God has set up that if you don't adhere to, His power doesn't work in your life. If you don't get the wiring right and get the switch right, it ain't going to work. But if you get it wired up right and get the switch right, the anointing, the power of the Word, the name, and the Spirit is going to work mightily in your life. Amen? So it says this. Let me read it in the Amplified now. It says, Now also beseech you, brethren, to get to know them who labor among you, recognize them. Now here's the key, for what they are. The problem with most people and where they have problems with pastors and ministers is they're trying to figure out who they are. Yeah. Amen? Well, actually, you don't need to know who I am. You need to know what I am. Yeah. Because who I am can't help you at all. But what I am can change your life. You say, well, what are you? Well, I'm your pastor. I'm a teacher in the body of Christ. And not only that, the gift of God that is on the inside of me doesn't just draw the current crowd that comes. It draws all the people that come to this pulpit, all the people that come into fellowship with this ministry, all the people that come. You know why they do that? You know why they come here? And man, I've got letters back there. I've got a letter today of people that just crow over this church. Talk about how awesome the praise and worship, how awesome you are, how they've never been loved in a church like they've been loved. These are people that visit. These are the letters they send back. I said, well, they don't know this church. They don't know what I know. Well, hopefully they hadn't run into you yet. Amen? They haven't run into you yet. People say, why do people like Tony Cook and Christopher Alam and Pastor Paul, why do these huge ministries, why do they come around you, Rusty? You're just a little old pastor. Because they know what I am. They know what I am. That's why they come here. And you've got to understand, once you begin to figure out who God has placed you under and how they operate, what is the greatest asset I have to give you? The Word. I'm a teacher and an expounder of the Word on, and I don't say this to brag, but I've done this 40 years on levels that many are not on. Many can bring a Bible lesson or a sermon, but a lot of people can't bring a message. And that's what I do. I preach messages from God. I spend hours saying, God, not what do I want to preach? What do these people need to hear? What can help them? What can deliver them? What can heal them? What can give them peace? What can give them joy? What not how can I get more money? How can I grow the church? I'm not into that ambitious stuff. I'm trying to help the people that are here. If God wants to send some more, send them on. But I'm trying to help you. That's what I am. That's what I am. Amen. Now notice. And hold them, this is the Amplified, hold them very high, most affectionately esteem them. Esteem them in intelligent and sympathetic appreciation of their work. Now notice this. And be at peace among yourselves. Now Paul's writing this to the church, preparing the church for the last days. Be at peace among yourselves. Listen, it's so important as a church that we walk in the spirit of unity and the bond of peace. There is, listen, we live in such a late day and hour. Jesus could literally come any second. And because of that, there are things that are working very strongly against us. Number one, we're at the bottom of the barrel. You say, what do you mean? You got 6,000 years of humanity when it was created, and that 6,000 years is now coming to an end, and we're the ones with the worst minds, the worst bodies, the worst this, the worst. Say, I tell you, I'm a specimen of humanity. No, you're the last of the last of the runts. So God gives us grace. Not only that, the insanity of what technology has produced in our earth has produced a society in which, like we said this morning, a twig could snap in the jungle of Africa and you can know about it as it breaks over in Australia or over in Asia or here in America. That's how fast everything travels. But now notice this. Honor in our nation, in our world, has been thrown out the window. It was a process that started many years ago, but has been exacerbated over the years, by leadership and their immorality. Now, I'm not going to say by their policies, no, because people are different and they govern the way that they know how to govern, but basically because of their personalities and because of their vices and of their iniquity, much of their sin gets exposed because it's advantageous to the other political party to expose the sin of the other political party. So we see all these people's, presidents dishonored, senators dishonored, Supreme Court dishonored. Amen? We got the heroes of many of the great civil rights movements, other movements in the nation. Those heroes have been dishonored. They're pulling down statues of everybody all over. Why do they do it? They have to dishonor leadership. They have to do it because the devil knows if there's strong leadership, if people actually understand what leadership is from God and how He sets it in their life to help them, to protect them, to grow them, then they're going to begin to honor that leadership, and that's going to enhance that leadership's ability to bless them even more. Now, I'm not looking for anything around here. I'm just trying to say these are the principles in the Word of God. That is the will of God for us. Then be at peace. Everybody say at peace. Ooh, where'd my time go? Be at peace. Be at peace among yourselves. Now back to the King James. Now we exhort you, brethren, warn them that are unruly. You that are unruly, I'm warning you. Don't be a knucklehead. Not back in the nurseries, not back in the children's ministry. Be nice. You're a Christian. Okay, we'll do it in the Amplified if that's what's needed. We earnestly beseech you, brethren, admonish, warn, seriously advise those who are out of line, the loafers, the disorderly, and the unruly. Warn them. Warn them of what? Don't do that. Encourage the timid. You that are timid, be encouraged. Amen. The faint-hearted, help them. Help and give support to the weak. Be very patient with everybody, always keeping your temper. See, none of you repays another with evil for evil, but always aim to show kindness and seek to do good for one another and to everybody. Be happy in your faith and rejoice. Be glad-hearted continually, always. Be unceasing in prayer, praying perseveringly. Thank God in everything, no matter what the circumstances may be. Be thankful and give thanks, for this is the will of God for you who are in Christ Jesus, the revealer and mediator of that will. Do not quench or suppress or subdue the Holy Spirit. Do not spurn the gifts and utterances of the prophets. Do not depreciate the prophetic revelations, nor despise inspired instruction or exhortation or warning. Test all things. Prove all things. Now listen, let me read that in the Amplified. It says, rejoice evermore. Pray without ceasing. In everything give thanks. This is the will of God concerning you. Quench not the spirit. Despise not prophesying. Let me close with this. Prove all things. Hold fast to that which is good. Prove all things. Hold fast. Prove all things. Hold fast. Prove all things. Hold fast. Well, number one, the devil's going to try to get it out of your hands. Because if it's good and if it's working, he's going to try to get it from you. Now, we mentioned, when we took the offer, we mentioned tithing. Why are you so adamant about tithing? Not because I see it in some, you know, great revelation. No, it's because I've proved it. I have proved that tithing works. I've proved that it works for me as a person, that it works for Leah and I as a family, and it works for Island Church as a church. You say, why? We're healthy financially. You say, why? Because the devourer is rebuked. Amen. Not only that, every other revelation of who we are in Christ, what we have in Christ, what we can do in Christ, the power of the Holy Ghost, prosperity, healing, everything in the Word of God. Listen, this is the seed bag of God that produces the harvest of God in your life. You've got to have that seed protected, blessed, and increased in your life. And we're at a time in which that seed grows much quicker than it used to. There's different soil. There's different, how do you say this? I'd hate to have to try to bring in a crop here on Galveston Island. You say, why? Because the soil is not very conducive to anything but good watermelons. They used to grow some awesome watermelons here on the island. I knew some people that used to do it. But I'd hate to grow cotton here or farm rice or grow a crop of corn. You'd find it don't grow, that sand doesn't grow much. But here's the thing. Our soil in our spirit, it doesn't matter where you live. Your soil can be the most beautiful, the most perfect, the most pH balanced, the most fertilized soil that you want it to be. So that when the good seed of the Word of God goes in there, all of these things that God talks about in being the will of God, quench not the spirit, rejoice evermore. Did you know that word rejoice is a very radical praise term? You know what it means? Oh, it means to stand there passively and kind of clap your hands with the Holy Ghost. It literally means to jump up in there high enough where you can make a 360-degree turn, land on your feet with a shrill shout. When the Bible talked about Jesus rejoicing, that's what he used to do. That's probably what David used to do. You say, why? Because spiritual things usually run the same. Doesn't matter about how time has an effect on it. Now, remember this. We'll close with this. God's doing something powerfully in all of our lives right now, preparing us for what's coming. We declared as we began this year, the south wind blows softly. We're already beginning to see the groundswells of the storm that is coming our way. In our government, with this crazy election, what's going to happen? I have no idea. I don't try to prophesy things. If God gives me something in the Spirit, I'll tell it. But I'm not like these people that throw prophecies out, seeing if they're going to land. You say, what do you mean by that? Well, a lot of people do that. See, now if it hits, now they're famous and they're rich because they've made a prophecy that came to pass. Well, have you noticed the ones we've made come to pass, we don't make money on that. Amen? I'm just helping some of y'all today. Can I say that? Please don't pay to pray. Please don't pay for a word on the internet from a prophet or something. Please don't do that. I'm protecting you as your pastor. You say, well, I really need a word. Then pray. God will give you one. I don't know who that's for, but you don't need to get on the internet and pay money to pray with people or pay money for a word or do anything like this. Don't do that. Come to church. We'll teach you the word. We'll pray with you. We'll help you. Amen. But this is the will of God. Now think. Let's think. Let's real quick. We'll close. All the things. It's the will of God for you to be saved. It's the will of God for you to be healed. It's the will of God for you to be endued with power so you can live an overcoming life. It's the will of God for you to have revelation in the Word of God. It's the will of God for you to prosper and have all the money that you need, not only for yourself, but that you can help other people and help the church that you're a part of. It's the will of God that you have peace in your mind. It's the will of God that you have joy, joy in the Holy Ghost, not just joy that circumstances or material things can supply, but a real inward joy on the inside that no matter what is going on in your life, you kind of have this crooked little smile on the corner of your face that knows everything's going to be okay. Amen. And then when God does begin to move and things begin to happen, there are things happening in the church right now that I just don't talk about because it's not me, it's God. Wonderful things, spirits of restoration and blessing, spirits of increase and goodness, all kinds. But see, what we tend to major on many times is all the negative stuff. No, we've got to get out of that and get into the clean, pure, clear, beautiful things of, that God's doing in our lives. What He's saying, what He's speaking to us. Why? Because He's not preparing us just to get through this. Oh my God, we barely get through. Maybe the rapture's going to... No, He's to square our shoulders and to walk through this thing like men and women of God. Unafraid of what's going on in this world, unafraid of what's coming upon the world, and providing answers for those who are freaking out because of it. Yes. Amen. Isn't God good? Lift your hands and thank Him. Father, we worship You. We glorify Your name. We exalt You, Lord. Father, I ask today that Your gentle spirit would bring the reality, the conviction, not just to someone here that may be estranged from You or somebody that does not know You, Lord, but for all of us, Father, let Your spirit convict us of the reality of how deeply we should dig, how far we should go into our own lives and say, God, do what needs to be done to make me the person You want me to be. Father, as we do that, we thank You that You supply everything we need, from the Word to the Spirit to the timing. Lord, yes. Yes, I pray over that. Thank You, Lord. I pray over that. I pray over the time. Men and women here in their jobs, they need timing. They need things to happen at the right time in their job for promotion and safety and security in the job. In businesses, I see that, Father. The timing, there's some timing of some things in business that men and women need to have right now. There's some things that need to happen right now, and then there's some things that need to happen just a little bit in the future. Father, we pray over the timing of God. First of all, devil, You're a liar. Your ability to delay, we bind in the name of Jesus. There is no ability in heaven for You to delay anything. So we bind You on earth and say, you cannot delay the blessings of God. You cannot deny it. You cannot stand between us and our blessing and stop it from coming. We say no. And all of the timing and the increase it provides and all of the goodness that God brings with it, we declare Your perfect timing, Lord. In our church building, in evangelization, overseas work, we need to know, Father, every step we take is one You're ordering. You said the steps of righteous men and women are ordered of the Lord. Now, Father, as we close today, I would ask that everyone here would examine their own heart. Are you living right? Are you doing right? Have you made Jesus Lord and Savior? If you're here today, you say, Pastor, I'm not. I'm not living right. I'm not doing right. I'm away from God. Or you say, Pastor, I've never made Jesus my Lord and Savior, but I need to be saved. I need to be born again. I would like to pray with you. If anybody like that, would you lift your hands? Praise God. Let me see. Praise God. See one hand. Anyone else? Praise God. Thank You, Lord. You can put it down after you've raised it. If you've not raised your hand, want to raise it up high, let me see. So our ushers can help us. One has raised. Praise God. Anyone else? Quickly, as I look around one more time. Another. God bless you. God bless you. Now, y'all be stay seated. Let's close your eyes as you sit right there in the presence of the Lord. Pray this out loud. Heavenly Father, thank You that Jesus is my Lord. I'm unashamed of that. But Lord, I struggle. I need help. I need to outgrow things in my life that hold me back and weight me down. Devil, I don't belong to You. I bind you in the name of Jesus. Quit tormenting my mind. Quit tempting my flesh. I resist You, for my Heavenly Father said, if I would submit myself to Him, I could resist the devil. I could actively oppose him. He would have to flee. So devil, you've got to flee. Get out of my life. Get out of my mind. Get out of my flesh. I do not belong to you. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Father. I belong to you. I so need your mercy. I so need your grace. I so need your compassion that I might grow in grace, grow in mercy, grow in compassion, and offer it to everyone around me. Thank you, Lord. Here on January the 28th, as I sit at Island Church, I am right with God. Jesus is my Lord. I'll never be the same. In Jesus' name. Amen. Stand on your feet. Praise the Lord. Father, thank you for today. Thank you, Lord Jesus, that no matter what happens in the world, we have a hope in you beyond the ability of anyone on this planet to rescue and bless. We trust you, Lord. Lord, as we leave today, we walk in faith and love towards you. Thank you, Heavenly Father. Thank you, Lord God, how over the years you've been so faithful to protect us. We thank you that that protection and safety continues unabated. No evil befalls us. No plague comes nigh us. Angels have charge over us. Whether we travel on the highway, seaway, railway, airway, or any other way of travel or transportation, we declare your safety. Father, we thank you in the righteous labor of our hands. Many work in the job place. We have students. We have teachers. Lord, many have their own businesses. We thank you that everyone is protected. Everyone is blessed. Everyone is increased by the anointing of God and the power of the Word working in us. Thank you for evangelism in our hearts. We nurture it. We grow it. Let us ever be aware of those around us, how they need. They need Jesus. They need hope. They need a hope. We thank you, Father. We'll be a problem to the devil, an answer to people's prayer, a miracle in their life, that we are available and ready to be used by you. We leave today walking in faith and love toward you. We love you so much. We walk in love toward one another. Thank you for our church. We leave as the ambassadors of Christ you've called us to be. Thanking you, Lord. Here at Island Church, we're covered by the blood, empowered by the word, anointed by the Holy Spirit.
Thank you for listening to Island Church's podcast. To find out more information about Island Church in Galveston, Texas, visit our website at islandchurchgalveston.com. Hallelujah, Jesus.